We're on the road. Where transportation goes, community grows. Welcome to On the Road with the MTA. And welcome to another edition of On the Road with the MTA. I'm Jay Gibbons with the MTA and alongside with Stephanie Kay
from
the MTA.
Hi, yeah. Yes.
How are you doing?
Rhymes. I'm great. Thanks for asking, Jay. It's rhymed as well. It's a beautiful day out there. Very yes. Unseasonably warm, like 64 degrees today
it's
for
gorgeous.
March. That's
yeah.
Unheard of.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're here.
It's Michigan. If you don't like it, just wait 10 minutes. It'll change.
Yeah, it's supposed to snow tomorrow. But as soon as we finish here, I have a meeting, but then I want to go for a walk outside. Soak up that sunshine while we can. Mm-hmm.
Get your vitamin D.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, we need that, and we also need education, and we need people in our community like our guest today. We are so grateful to have Chris Christensen in the office with us today. Now, it's the Honorable Chris Christensen. He is a judge, and I knew you when you were a lawyer. Thank you for coming to talk to us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely, anytime. I know you're a busy guy, so I really appreciate your time. And I know you called because I was actually at a conference in New Orleans, and I had said, I can't take any phone calls, but I saw your phone call, so I took it. And you were asking for some transportation for a very cool tour that you were giving. Tell us about that, how that came to be and what you did.
Well, so the Supreme Court of Michigan, middle of February, sent out an email and encouraged all the courthouses around the state to do some type of outreach.
Okay.
And I suspect it's because there's a little bit of an erosion in the in the belief that the judicial system or the legal system is fully functioning to have the benefit of everybody. But that's my guess. I have no idea if that's why they did it. But they sent an email to everybody and said, please, during the first week of March, consider doing some outreach things. And so I thought about it for a minute, and I thought it would be kind of nice in that same kind of theme to invite some kids down to not just hear from judges and lawyers, which is what we usually do, which is fine. And those are good programs. But also to highlight everything else that goes on in the courthouse that they might not be aware of. So I got permission from our court administrator to invite down a school. And I invited down Flint Southwestern, which I did on purpose because that's where I went to school.
Oh, that's good. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so part of my strategy in inviting the kids down was to then reveal that I sat exactly where they sat.
Oh, good point.
So it's not... I didn't come from somewhere else. I sat right where they sat, went to U of M Flint, worked my way through law school, and I'm here right now. So it's something that they could do too. So that's part of what I wanted to do by inviting them in. And then I also made arrangements for everybody to show up to show how important all the pieces are that make the courthouse run every day.
Sure.
So I invited the jury board. I had a prosecutor there. Defense attorney there. My law clerk was there talking about going through the law school process. The clerk's office had their regular clerk there. So we opened up the room like opening up regular court. We walked in and we said, you know, all rise, and we started
like
normal.
Yeah. And then did you have your robe on?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. And then throughout the day, we had the IT, all the IT guys came and did a presentation, and we showed them a very cool video. We had court administration come. Barb Benier came and talked a little bit about her job. And honestly, she does everything. So, you know, she tried to be really modest, but we had to say, no. She really runs this entire building. We had to point that out. And we had facilities and maintenance come. And I wanted to show the kids that there might be jobs here that you never even thought of.
Exactly.
That might be something you would do. So what I asked each one to do is describe what they do, describe kind of the education it took to get there, and if they were comfortable, tell us if you like it, right? And
so they
all did. And we had the deputies show up. One of the lieutenants showed up to talk about safety and how we do things. And so that was very, very cool. It went all morning. And then we went to the jury board, and they actually had an actual real jury orientation.
Oh,
to
nice.
See what they'd have to sit through. But then also we explained how important the jury system is to the way we work and how the system works, and answered questions, and we had some lunch. So it was awesome that we were able to get transportation, because I didn't realize, I forgot, when I was a kid, we had the yellow buses.
Oh, right, sure.
I forgot MTA handles basically the transportation for Flint schools.
Right, a lot of schools.
I didn't realize that. And then I didn't realize also that they're two separate entities, not like call the school and they arrange for the bus.
Not at all. We get calls all the time needing help.
Right, so we had to do that. So that worked out great too. So I appreciate taking
Absolutely.
The call and helping coordinate it. Yeah.
Well, MTA is always happy to help if they can. Yep. And they are so busy. I don't know where they find the drivers and the buses to make it happen, but we're so grateful we could help you out. And I know they had lunch there a little few minutes late, but we waited for you. And I just love our partnerships with MTA. Has with people. We do so much. I don't think you even know this, but we are the first responders as well. We'll get a call from 911 if there's a house fire or a explosion, like maybe in an apartment complex or something. MTA sends buses out there to get people out of the harm's way into the safety. And they were free rides all through the pandemic. They give free rides to veterans and their spouses, take them to the Veterans Hospital and wait. There's just And that right now, there's still 3 free rides that the veterans and their spouses get. So we do so much. The school's helping them out. We love doing that. But yeah, there's so much more than that, too. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm glad it worked out. And thanks for the nice note. We saw the pictures you sent back when you're in your robe and they're all around you. Did you see any light bulbs go off? Did you see any kids think, I didn't know I could do this or I have an interest in being in that position?
It's funny because I wasn't sure because they're kids, right?
Yeah, right,
We had 15-minute presentations for about 2.5 hours. And I could see some of them glazing over. Just like, all right. So I wasn't sure how it was being received. But when we had our lunch and it was all relaxed and we were eating pizza, then the kids started talking. That part was so nice. Oh, you know what? I really like this part. And I got to hear some feedback. I haven't talked to their teacher, but it turned out their teacher, Ms. Lejeski, he went to Southwestern too. He graduated 2 years ahead of me.
Nice.
I graduated with his sister. So I pointed that out. I said, look,
we're average people.
Not only could you wind up here at the courthouse in any of these jobs, including this one, you could wind up being a teacher right at your school. That's what he did. That's how he got there.
So I love that.
I hope they kind of pick that up a little bit, that anything is technically possible from where you are right now.
And that my dad used to say, hey, we live in America. It's a free country. You can be anything you want to be. It's up to you to make it happen. It's like, that's true. We have the availability. I mean, we had, you know, MTA, we brought you there. You had the education for them. You had the lunch. We give them all the tools they need. They can do anything they want. So when did you realize you wanted to be a lawyer or a judge? Did you ever think you were going to be a judge when you were a small child?
Not a judge when I was a kid, but when I was 5, I wanted to be a lawyer.
Really? Wow, how did that happen? Right, what happened that made you think that's your thing?
That is a long, long story. We don't have enough time to explain all that. But I said I wanted to be a lawyer. And then...
Why? In a nutshell, why?
I had been to a whole bunch of court hearings for a whole bunch of different things as a little kid. And so I just liked the way it felt and the way it looked and all of that kind of detail. So I thought, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Well, then fast forward, you know, you repeat that when you're in 9th grade, 10th grade, you're telling everybody about it. But then you just kind of start to wonder, man, could I really do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. It takes a lot of work and you have to get good grades and you have to go through all these things. And you just wonder if that's really going to happen. So then I went to undergrad and I was working, I had an appraiser's license and a real estate license. Got them when I was young, 18 and 20.
Yeah, those are good things to have.
And then I worked for an appraisal company here in town, and then I got laid off in 94 because I was the youngest. I was still in college, lived at home with my mom and dad, so I got laid off.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, so a friend of mine got me working in a construction company, and I did that for my senior year of college, and I really liked that. They used to make fun of me and call me college boy.
Uh-oh.
All right, college boy. Yeah. Well, so I did that for about a year actually after college, and I got accepted into law school.
Oh, nice. And was so that difficult? I heard law school can be very
It can be
tedious.
A little bit nerve-wracking, law school. So then I morphed from being a carpenter to being a building superintendent, or basically I helped build the buildings. I was like one of the general contractor type guys that coordinated. I love that. So I was a superintendent doing construction projects. I did that all through law school, worked full-time, commuted to Lansing. Looking back, I have no idea how I did that.
I know. I was a single mom with 2 girls. Like, how did I do that and go to college? Yes. Yeah,
exactly. Well, then when I got done with law school, I was almost done with law school. My boss came to me and said, listen, we're going in a different direction with all of our, what we're doing. We were doing bigger projects. We had 40 carpenters. And he said, we're going to go down to about 10 guys. And so I don't need in-house. He said, but I got you a job with one of the guys we've done work with. He needs a superintendent. So I went to interview with a guy and the guy said, listen, I'm going to pay you salary, but I'm going to expect that you work at least 50 hours. And I said to him, man, I drive an hour to Lansing, sit through a 4-hour class, drive an hour back. I work 40 hours a week. It's going to be nothing now that school's done.
And yeah.
So I went to work for that guy for about 2 years. And then, September 11th came and we didn't sell a single house from September until January.
Oh, wow.
Sell a single house.
Oh, my
gosh. And we were used to doing about 15 custom houses, going from that to zero. He came to me in December and said, you go. And I said, I appreciate it. No problem. But I had a 6-month-old baby and I had just built a really nice house.
Oh, no, Chris.
I went to my wife and at the time and I said, listen, I don't really want to send resumes. I don't really feel like working for anybody else.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to hang up my shingle and I don't know what's going to happen. So she said, to her credit, she said, that's fine. Let's go do it. Mm-hmm. I don't need this house. I was happy where we used to live in Flint. We lived right off Bradley and Miller, right on the hills.
Oh yeah.
For the crib.
Sure.
So she said, I'm fine if we have to go.
As long as you're together, it doesn't matter where you live.
Yeah.
Yep. So
I love that.
So we went ahead and I went on my own in 2002 and I got my partner Craig in 2006 and never looked back.
See, it was a blessing. Sometimes the things that seem like the worst that could happen are a blessing in the long run. So
you just don't know.
Yeah, good for you. And it was a short story I heard one time too. And somebody was, they were like in a ship and they got lost and they were in the ocean. They ended on an island and he thought, oh my God, how could this happen to me? And then he made a little shed. He thought, okay, at least I have some shelter. And it caught fire. He was trying to make a, and he thought, what else? Really, God? Really, you're going to do this to me? And the fire is what saved him because the plane above saw the smoke and said, we would have never found you had not seen that smoke from the fire. So sometimes the things that seem like the very worst could happen turn out to be the very best, like in your case.
That's awesome.
That's another story you can tell your kids. You know, sometimes. Yeah. How many children do you have now?
I have two.
And how old are they?
20 and about to be 23.
Oh my gosh.
I got a 22-year-old.
Okay, you guys are not like old enough to have kids that old. I was thinking you were going to say like 8 and 7 or something. Wow. Well, good job. So, okay, now how long have you been the judge?
I won in 2020 was the election year. I got sworn in on January 1st of...
Okay, so what is the term for a judge?
6 years.
So you don't have to do anything, campaign at all until 6 years. Are Correct. You going to run again? Do you think you wouldn't keep, okay.
Unless somebody comes and yanks me out of
So I know two friends of mine are running for the judge this next term, so that's kind of hard. Like you said, you like them both. So how many judges are in this area? Like how many do we need here?
Well, there's different tiers. There's district court, which is cases that involve $25,000 or less in money.
Oh, okay.
Landlord tenant, small claims.
Sure.
And misdemeanors, all misdemeanors. And then they are also the gatekeeper for felonies. So any felony has to go to district court first, and they have to have what's called a probable cause conference and then a probable cause exam, preliminary exam. And that determines whether or not that felony case is strong enough to continue on.
They have to be swamped in that case, aren't they?
They are
so busy.
Swamped. District, I can't imagine. District court is very busy around here. So, but then when you come to circuit court, there's 11 of us.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And a few are assigned to probate that handle probate matters. I think there's 4 permanently assigned for family court, which is divorces, domestic cases, that kind of stuff. And then the rest of us have split up the civil, the criminal, and the business court. And I got assigned, I have civil cases, and I've been assigned to the business court. And then I also have some criminal.
Which do you prefer? Like, what's your...
Well, that's those three things, the civil, the business court, and the criminal, that's what I practiced for 21 years.
Oh,
well,
then you all that backwards, yeah.
That was fine,
backwards.
Yeah.
Is it one you prefer? Do you like the criminal over the...
Not necessarily. Oh. I mean...
Law is law, right?
Yeah, I like the variety I get.
Yeah, so sure.
One day, it's crazy intense still because we'll have one day where we're prepping up. We have a murder coming. It's a murder. I mean, it doesn't get any more serious than that.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of details and you really want to get it right. You have to get it right.
Oh, sure.
Right.
And then the next day, I have a case with an insurance company that maybe doesn't want to pay somebody's coverages. And they have some good arguments, but they're thin. You know? But we're going to have a jury
unbalanced.
Trial on this.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, they have a right. So,
yeah,
okay, we're going
right.
to do it. But so it's so weird, the level of intensity from day to day or week to week that we have.
So if you get a murder case, it's just like a scenario, and you think this guy is guilty. You're listening. You know, the jury has to make that determination. But you think he is guilty, and there's maybe a technicality or it's a, what do they call it when they can't agree? It's a,
hung jury.
Or they say he's innocent. Do you ever think, oh, my gosh, they got it wrong? Or how do you handle that if you're thinking...
Well, it's not, I guess, back up.
Okay.
I don't ever think maybe that they got it wrong. I just think I might disagree with.
Well, okay, I should say yes. Better wording, yes.
To me, that kind of matters with regard to the jury because we have people, I guess, disagree, but
sure.
We have the best legal system in the world, in my opinion.
Well, that's good to know.
Everywhere.
Because you hear, the legal system failed me, so you don't know what went wrong.
But. They always do. They always do. And you always hear that issue. And so one of the key things that makes it work is the jury.
Sure.
Right? And the jury, to their credit, they absolutely try to get it right.
Oh, I believe that.
And sometimes they just come to different conclusions than we do.
Well, you have that many people in one room trying to agree on one thing can be very difficult.
Yeah, I had a case one time, a long time ago, and it was a criminal sexual contact case. And when they do jury selection, there's a thing called voir dire. Voir dire is where we ask questions to see if you have any biases or they could be things that you don't even realize, right? So we ask questions, see if you can settle this jury and be fair and impartial. And it ultimately came down that the jury convicted on one count, count one, and count four, which is weird.
How many counts were there against this
person? There were 5 counts.
They okay.
picked one of one, and already we thought that was weird.
Yeah.
But the count one was a life offense.
Oh.
So the guy was going to go to prison for maximum of life, minimum of 22 years. So it's a very, very serious case. And
sure.
And 7 years later, and so we didn't know what happened. The jury's out for 3 days deliberating.
Wow.
Which is a long time.
And they can't talk to anybody during that time.
Right.
What about, can they go home and come back? And
they
just can't talk.
They can go home. There's ways that they could be sequestered, but usually do that around here. But in this case, they were out for a long time. They came back with a verdict. They split it, one of one and one of four. And then 7 years later, I was at INSA Court, which is a dinner with lawyers and judges. We meet once a month during the year. And we talk about changes in the law, civility, ethics. It's just whatever. That's the type of meeting that we have. And we have a dinner. Well, 7 years after that case, they had a panel of three jurors. One was on an insurance case. One was on a commercial real estate case. And then one was on a criminal case. And the people started talking about their cases and their experience.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating.
Sure.
The guy that was on the criminal case said, you know, we were not allowed to talk about anything about the case. So every time we had a break, it was a three-day trial, three-day deliberation. All we could talk about was how young the people looked.
Oh.
Because it was me and Jeff Clothier. It was actually Jeff.
Okay, yeah.
And that was 22 years ago.
So oh, my gosh.
How young we looked back then.
Yeah.
And the prosecutor on that case was Jennifer McKellar, who's now Jennifer Manley, Judge Jennifer Manley.
Oh, sure.
22 years ago. So the three of us were the attorneys on it. And they said, everybody looks so young, and they had nice clothes and a nice watch, but we couldn't talk about anything else.
Right? Right.
So he's telling the story. And I still don't know that it's us. At this point, he hasn't said anything that would tip me off of who the lawyers were or what the case was. Well, then he starts talking about the case a little bit.
That's it.
That was our case.
Yeah.
So he talks about back and forth, and he mentions that there was one juror that was the holdout. Everybody wanted to find the guy not guilty.
Oh, really? Wow.
And they went back and forth for 3 days. And the one juror holdout insisted that somebody had to believe the victim. Because when she was a child in her teens, her best friend was a victim of sexual assault, and nobody believed her best friend.
Aww.
So it was either going to be a hung jury or some kind of guilty because she was not going to change her vote. He told that story, and I sat there stunned. I thought, wait a minute, that's not how that's supposed to work at all.
Yeah.
During voir dire, we ask questions. We have to try to figure that out. So afterwards, I went up to him. And I said, hey, hi, do you recognize me? And he said, no.
I'm Calder.
All right. Yes, well, that was my case. He goes, oh, man. He said, what happened to that?
Yeah, how'd you get so old? No, I'm kidding. No,
I can hear you. No, anyway, he said.
What happened to that guy?
What happened to that guy? And I said, well, he almost hung himself in jail that night. And he got sentenced to 22 years to life. And the guy did just like you. His mouth dropped. He said, are you serious? And I said, absolutely. That's exactly what happened. I said, but what happened with this? I'm more curious about what happened with this juror. And he said, well, she just was adamant. And I said, well, during voir dire, how did that not come out?
Yeah.
He said, we debated that the whole time that we were in there.
Really?
Because the question that got asked was, have you or anyone in your family been a victim of sexual assault? She answered truthfully, no, she had not been a victim. And no one in her family had.
Somebody she knew.
Her best friend.
Oh my gosh, that gives me goosebumps. It's kind of like that's
so. These guys, they debated whether or not she answered truthfully, whether or not they had a duty to tell the judge what they thought. And some of the people were on her side. Look, she answered the question. And the other people were like, wait a minute, but that's not in the spirit of what's going on.
No.
You're holding out because of this. So they went round and round and round. So when I still did, and again, that was about 22 years ago now. When I.
Is that man still in jail?
No, he just got out last June, actually.
Okay, you still don't know if he's guilty or innocent, right?
No, I do, actually.
Oh, you do know, for sure.
I know, yeah. Because
can you tell us?
Well, we made him take a private polygraph.
Well, can you tell us? We don't know who this guy is.
Yeah, he didn't pass the
polygraph. So he was guilty. He was, you assumed, okay.
Yes.
Wow, well, good.
Well, yeah. Well, assuming the polygraphs
appears
are.
Appears to be.
Right.
That's why,
right.
That's why they're not allowed. But anyway,
I get it. Totally understand.
So he, but we know we were going back, and I thought, man, from then on, whenever I did, I met with a person who was debating going to trial.
Yeah.
We would talk about all the details and the facts of their case and their chances and what might come in, what evidence might not come in. And then there was always the question of, look, let me just explain how a jury works, because this really happened to a case where you can't tell what they're thinking.
Well, let me ask you this. You said everybody else thought he was innocent, and she said, no, he's guilty. I think I want to be guilty.
So they compromised.
Okay.
I'm sorry, that explains it. There was all the counts. They agreed to just
that's
do
why it was
of
one
each.
Of four. Okay.
That's why it was one of each.
Makes sense. But my question to you is, according to the polygraph, he was probably guilty. So had she not said, I'm adamant that I want to make him guilty, he would have walked free. If everybody else said he's not guilty. So
could
actually,
have, or
it kind
have,
of.
Or there could have been a hung jury, right? So the argument is that they still got it right.
And yeah, right. I was going to say it was still fair. It was still right.
Still scary though.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'll say, no kidding. Yeah. So what's the most interesting case you've ever heard about or been on or either tried or a lawyer? Is there?
I don't know. There's
so many.
Flint, yes.
I know.
There's a lawyer from here who was here, and it's so about perspective.
Okay? Sure, absolutely.
So we're Flint. We have some serious crimes and we have some serious murders, and so you get a lot of experience in some of those things. Well, this lawyer went to Texas, and he went to get on their court-appointed list, and he wanted to get on their capital murder case because they've got cases there where the death penalty is on the table.
Right? Yeah, so that's serious stuff.
He said, I want to do that. And so he went in front of a panel of 14 14 attorneys and judges in that county.
Wow.
And they're trying to vet them. They just can't open the door for anybody to come represent somebody that's so serious. So they asked the guy, they asked him on the record, have you ever taken a murder trial all the way to trial? He said, oh yeah. And they said, well, how many murder trials have you had? 14, at least 14. And they said, what? No, not how many murders have you represented that have got a deal or something,
yeah,
pled guilty or something like that. How many murders have you taken all the way to trial? And he said, yeah, at least 14. There's probably a few I'm forgetting, but at least 14. I've represented a ton of other people that we had resolutions that didn't require a trial. I said, where are you coming from? And he said, well, Flint, Michigan. And they went,
oh.
All right. He got approved and he got on their list and was on their list for years. Funny. So,
wow. Oh my God,
so
that's funny.
It is about perspective. I mean, we see an awful lot.
Yes.
Here. One time I had a guy who robbed my branch of Citizens Bank.
Oh, no.
It was crazy. And I was doing some court-appointed work. I did both retained and court-appointed criminal work. And I got assigned to this guy. And I said, man, that was my bank. I could have been in line, man. So
makes a difference. Yeah. Has there ever been a trial that you were part of and they said, sorry, you can't try that because you are related to them or you knew them? Or you...
Oh, conflicts. But those conflicts come up way early.
Okay.
You have a legitimate conflict.
Sure. Well, you got to watch a TV show called Your Honor. You're going to love it. It's a Bryan Cranston. You watched it, right, Jay?
It's very,
oh,
very
it's
good
so
series.
Suspenseful. As a judge, I think you can appreciate what he had to go through.
All right.
And it's like it's testing his integrity, but it was so good. I want you to watch it
we're
and report
working
back.
We're working our way through Suits right now.
Oh, I heard that was really good too.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yes. I watched all 8, 9 seasons or whatever it is.
I didn't know. It's 9.
Yeah, I didn't watch the last 9, yeah.
I didn't know it started coming out in 2012.
I know. It surprised me. Yeah, I know.
And I remember people saying to me, oh, you should watch Suits. Oh, you're like the one guy. You're like that guy. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I don't have time for all that. And then now all of a sudden my wife heard about Suits. So now we're working our way through all
of
them.
Yeah, me too.
What season are you on now?
We just finished 5. We started 6 last night.
Ah, okay, good. All right, yeah.
Getting close.
You'll like it. You'll like it.
I like it. But.
I'm just starting. I got the first season, like the first, so I'm just getting started in it. But my neighbors have loved it.
That's where we are.
Oh, yes, okay.
Well, I heard that.
I was trying not to. Okay.
Well, how did you guys, did you just start Suits?
I didn't. Yeah, I don't even know anything
okay,
about it.
Okay, yeah, you got a long way to go.
I know.
And it moves, what I like about that show is it moves quickly, and the character development's fantastic.
I can't wait to watch it now.
Wait till you see Donna. You'll like Donna.
Well, I was just going to ask, not, you know, because you are in that legal field and Jay, of course, isn't, but you both found it interesting.
Actually, so I worked for the Lake County Clerk's Office in Florida for 2 years.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. But I mean,
I was in the IT side of things.
Oh, okay.
I knew all the judges and all
but
the
anybody
lawyers.
Listening right now, they would like it, right? The show. It's good for anybody.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's not just for legally minded.
Well, we can have our own series and go on and on talking. You're so interesting. I'm about to have you back because there's such much more I'd like to talk to you about, but I know you guys have appointments and we have to probably say goodbye right now. But is there anything else you want to say before we?
No, I just appreciate MTA being there for the students. That was awesome. That was the main thing. I haven't talked to their teacher, Mr. Lejewski, since then.
Yeah.
But I did get a couple thank you emails from Anupa.
She sent us a very nice thank you notes. That was very kind of her. So thank you.
And she would like to set it up for us to do it every year. So we're going to look at doing that. Maybe every spring we'll bring in the
different
seniors
schools
or whatever.
Because you never know who you just might spark that interest and you might see them being a judge one day. You could say, I remember you came in.
So cool.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yep.
That's kind of the feedback I like right now. If I do run into somebody who I represented as a lawyer, or I was in family court for 2 years when I first got on the bench, or now even where I'm at, every now and then we do get that feedback that says, wait a minute, you know what? The words that you said made a difference and I switched and did something else or whatever. And so that's always nice to hear.
Well, when I was in the radio, I would love to bring kids in, like the Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts, and let them do the weather or see if they might like it. And you never know what it might spark in somebody. And I know Lisa Marie, who's now on Cars 108, she said she wanted to do radio. So I had her come in and fill in for me while I was gone. And so we gave birth to that. So now she's over there.
So it's your fault.
It's my fault.
Lisa, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, that was great. No, so well, thank you so much for coming in. And we will definitely revisit this because maybe next year when you have another group and we'll find out how that went for you too.
Perfect. Yeah, or if there's ever, I'll feedback from this one too.
Yeah, And if there's ever any cases that you want to talk about, or I don't know if we can do that, anything as you're doing in the community, call me and we'll have you on.
Sounds good.
Totally free to do.
We'll do the Law and Order version of the MTA podcast.
That would be good. Things you can talk about because there's so many things I want to talk to you about it. So we'll revisit it. But thank you, Jay, and thank you so much, Chris. I mean, your honor.
Yes, your honor.
Honorable.
Chris the Christensen. Honorable.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, thanks for listening. Listen every week. We do this every week. We bring you things in the community that's free, helpful, anything that might make your life a little bit better.
Yep.
And so we're here for you. It's MTA On the Road with the MTA, Jay and Stephanie Kay.
You've been listening to On the Road with the MTA. For more information on our services and community outreach, Visit us online anytime at www.mtaflint.org and be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. The MTA, your community, your connection, your way.